Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanalam, the most happening place on the planet and the place reverberating with Vedic chants and bhajans every single morning and every single evening. Today being Thursday, you heard the golden voice of Bhagwan singing Kshirabdhi Shayana Narayana after the evening bhajans. Talking about bhajans and music, I'm reminded of one particular anecdote narrated by a member of the bhajan group, Brother Sujit Kumar, during a conversation a few weeks ago. Sometime back, some of the members of the bhajan group, some of the students who were part of the music group in the hostel, started this endeavor of educating all the student community about music, because there is some music in each one of us. There is some rhythm. We all resonate to some rhythms, to some tune. There is no one who doesn't relate to some kind of a beat, some kind of a tune, some kind of a melody. And so these brothers got together and called this program Sama. It's called Sama. So the Sama program happened in the college choir session, the morning prayer session. And they spoke about the ragas, the Indian classical music, giving the basics of what exactly is a raga, what is the constitution of a raga, and also giving some general guidelines about the tala, the beat, how it is in Indian classical music, be it Carnatic or Hindustani. So it was some sort of a fundamental understanding of what raga and tala is when it comes to music, especially Indian music. And the session concluded with the explanation of raga and tala. And that evening, Bhagwan called some of these boys into the interview room. They happened to be with Bhagwan in the interview room. And Bhagwan, out of the blue, started talking about the program that happened in the college that morning. And he started telling how two brothers started talking about raga and tala. It was almost as if he was listening to every little narration that went through the air of the college that morning. It was almost as if the altar that was placed for Swami was a living altar, because Bhagwan was saying everything that they said in the morning. And he complimented them for the initiative for educating the student community about music. And then suddenly Swami said, "But you missed one very important aspect. In fact, one of the most important aspects." And Swami said, "You didn't talk about bhava at all. You were so lost in talking about the technicalities of bhajan, the raga and tala. You didn't mention about bhava at all. And bhava is actually so important. In fact, the whole raga and tala is only a medium to convey a bhava. It's only because we want to convey something to God. It's only because we want to express our feelings to God through devotion, through our emotion, that we want to give it to some melody, and that is where the raga and tala come into being. In fact, just like the words are a means to only express what is there in our heart, raga and tala are only a medium to express what we want to tell to the Lord. And therefore, Swami said, bhava is so important. God is bhava priya, not bahya priya. That is, the one who looks for emotion, not for externalities. So dear listeners, whenever we sing a bhajan, let us always remember why we are singing the bhajan. Let us always ruminate on why we are uttering those names and why we want to do it properly. Just like when we speak, if our language is proper, the other person feels so good listening. Similarly, when we sing, even though our intention is good, even though bhava is good, only when our language, our words, that is the raga and tala, are proper, then it becomes a beautiful offering. It becomes a beautiful communication. And that is why Bhagwan said Raga, Tala and Bhava, all three are important. So let's keep in mind that when we sing, we have to keep in mind all these three and make our offering to the Lord. And it's to help us to get a better understanding of these three when we sing bhajans that we have started this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And as always, today we will take up one more bhajan. But before we begin, let us sincerely think of the Lord. Let us first offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved and beautiful Lord, and pray to Him so that He blesses us with the opportunity of always seeing Him in our mind's eye every moment of our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to Lord Vithala or Pandarinatha, the Lord of Pandharpur. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Deena Bandhu Vithala Jai, Karuna Sindhu Vithala Jai.
So that's the bhajan, and let's move on now in this program, first learning the lyrics of the bhajan and then the raga, the tala, the meaning of every word. And in the end, we will listen to a small extract of a presentation made by Ravi Kumar, Amay and Siddhartha about bhajan singing during the National Bhajan Workshop held in Vrindavan, Bhagwan's ashram in Bangalore in June 2013. For the present, let's get started with the lyrics.
Deena Bandhu Vithala Jai, Karuna Sindhu Vithala Jai, Vithala 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 Jai, Pandhari Natha Vithala Jai, Panduranga Vithala Jai, Partipurisha Vithala Jai, Prashanti Nilaya Vithala Jai, Vithala 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 Jai.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow Brother Ravi after every line, and when he does that, dear listeners, you too please join so that you get a feel of the flow of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
Deena Bandhu Vithala Jai, Karuna Sindhu Vithala Jai.
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 Vithala 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 Jai, Vithala 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 Jai.
Pandharinatha Vithala Jai, पांडुरंगा विठला जय
पंढरीनाथा विठला जय पांडुरंगा विठला जय
पंढरीनाथा विठला जय पांडुरंगा विठला जय
पंढरीनाथा विठला जय पांडुरंगा विठला जय
परतिपुरीशा विठला जय प्रशांति निलया 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 विठला जय
विठला 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 जय विठला 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 जय
दीन बंधु विठला जय करुणा सिंधु विठला जय
सो यू हर्ड द ट्यून ऑफ This Bhajan Deenabandhu Vithalajai and the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. Tell us, Anirudh, about the raga of this bhajan.
Sairam Bishu.
Yeah.
This bhajan is based on the raga Bhimpalasi.
Okay.
I think in one of the sessions we had this raga in detail.
Exactly, in one previous bhajan classroom, we had the bhajan Mandara
Maladara.
Exactly.
That bhajan?
Yes.
Where in that bhajan it was based on Bhimpalasi because the Arohana and Avarohana of the Bhimpalasi was followed.
Yes.
Now when you come to this bhajan, we'll be seeing that in the Arohana and Avarohana, as I explained to you, there is a small deviation from Bhimpalasi. Where
okay.
you have re-entering between Sa and Ga.
I think once you start explaining the notes,
yeah,
we'll
sure.
get a better idea.
I'll sing for you.
Yeah, sure.
The Arohana and the Avarohana of Bhimpalasi goes like this.
Sa Ga Ma Pa Ni Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Ri Sa
Whereas in this bhajan, you can see
Sa re ga ma pa dha
comes in the ascending and descending is same as the Bhimpalasi.
Sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa.
When we do the line by line swaras,
yeah.
you will get a clear
Probably
idea.
We will get those
yeah.
live examples.
Yes.
But before we get on to the bhajan and its swaras, maybe you can give us a feel of how the flow of this raga is.
Yeah, sure.
Ah
can we now get on with the bhajan, Anirudh?
Yes.
So as you sing the swaras for every line, Arvind Sai and Anand are here to join and follow you after every line.
Sure.
Deena bandhu vithala jai, karuna sindhu vithala jai. Papa mapaga mapapapa, mama gapa mapaga regasa.
Papa mapaga mapapapa, mama gapa mapaga regasa.
Vithala, vithala, vithala jai. Vithala, vithala, vithala jai. Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa re re ga re sa sa sa.
Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa re re ga re sa sa sa.
Pandhari natha vithala jai. Panduranga vithala jai. Pa 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 ma pa ga ma pa pa pa. Ma ma ga pa ma pa ga re ga sa.
Pa 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 ma pa ga ma pa pa pa. Ma ma ga pa ma pa ga re ga sa.
Parti purisha vithala jai. Prashanti nilaya vithala jai. Pa pa ma pa ga ma pa ni dha pa. Ma ma ga pa ma pa ga re ga sa.
Pa pa ma pa ga ma pa ni dha pa. Ma ma ga pa ma pa ga re ga sa.
Vithala, vithala, vithala jai. Vithala, vithala, vithala jai. Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa re re ga re sa sa sa.
Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa re re ga re sa sa sa.
In the second time, we sing.
Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa ga re ga re sa sa sa.
Sa 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 ni re 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 sa ga 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 ma re. Ni 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 sa ga re ga re sa sa sa.
So in this we have the komal ni.
Yeah, you have komal ga also.
Komal ga also.
Sa re
re shuddh. Ga, ga is a minor ga,
yes,
komal ga.
Ma pa dha, dha shud, ni,
ni is komal,
yes.
Ni one.
Yes, and that ni adds a lot of beauty.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And can you think of more bhajans in this raga?
Yeah, there are a lot of bhajans in this.
Sai mera, tum ho sahara.
Yeah, anything comes to your mind, Arvind Sai?
Yeah, the bhajan on Rama.
Ram Jayam Raghu Ram Jayam.
Yeah, Swami often used to sing this version.
Yes, yes.
Swami's composition. So.
And then I think we also have
Sai Ram Hare Sai Krishna Hare.
Yes.
All this have the same feel.
Same feel, yeah.
Whereas if you take as pure Bhimplasi, like how we had before.
Mandara Maladara Sagama Panimapa.
Yes.
So the ascending of the Bhimplasi is followed.
Yes. I think that is true for all our bhajans. You never have any bhajan strictly falling into one raga. But you have so
we
lot
have
of bhajans.
We have many bhajans in particularly following in raga. But
yeah.
That's what it depends on the composer's feel and the how Swami gives the idea to him.
Inspiration to him.
Yeah.
As, because you know all bhajans are ultimately outpourings of devotion rather than musical compositions.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. And also please tell us about the beat of the bhajan.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat normal. So the count will be 1, 2, 3, 4.
Deena bandhu vithala jai.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Anirudh, Anand and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Saram.
So with this, we are through with the lyrics, the tune, the raga, the tala. Let's now get into the most important aspect, the bhava, or the feeling with which we must sing, we must offer this bhajan to the Lord. And for this, let's try to understand the inner significance of every word that make this bhajan. We begin with the first line.
Deena bandhu vithala jai, karuna sindhu vithala jai.
The first word is Deena, meaning weak or forlorn. The second word is bandhu, meaning a friend or well-wisher. It comes from the word bandham, which means bond of affection and love. The third word is Vithala, and it occurs twice in this line. Now this word is a combination of Vit and Thala. Vit means brick, while Thala means standing. Vithala is the name for the Lord who stands on a brick. Why did the Lord assume this particular, peculiar pose, standing on a brick? Well, there is a beautiful story. This dates back many centuries ago to an event that occurred in the blessed city of Pandharpur in the Indian state of Maharashtra. Although it was not called Pandharpur at that time, the city probably became a spiritual hub after this incident. There was a devotee by name Pundalika. He was very devoted to his parents, but something changed after his marriage. He now started ill-treating his parents. Soon the parents could not bear this ill-treatment and they decided to leave for Kashi, the holy pilgrim center. The parents decided that it would be better for them to go to Kashi and once there, never return from there and wait for their last moments in that holy place than suffer the pathetic treatment they were receiving in their home. However, when Pundalika heard about his parents' travel plans, he said he too would join them along with his wife. And now, even during the journey, Pundalika made his parents walk while he rode on horseback. In the evenings, he made them groom the horses for the next day's journey. Unfortunately, the parents' woes never ended. One day, on the way, they reached the hermitage of a pious sage. Since they were exhausted, the family decided to stay there for a few days. That night, Pundalika had a remarkable vision. He saw that just before dawn, a group of ladies, radiant and beautiful but dressed in soiled clothes, entered this ashram. Then he saw them clean the floor, fetch water and even wash the clothes of the venerable sage. Next, he saw these ladies go into the prayer room. When they emerged from the prayer room after a while, their clothes now were spotlessly clean. And then, in the blink of an eye, they disappeared. Somehow, this vision kept playing in Pundalika's mind the whole of next day. So the next night too, he remained awake and alert, curious to see if his vision would repeat. And sure enough, it did. And now, curiosity got the better of him and Pundalika saw himself approaching these ladies and asking them who they were. And they replied that they were the sacred rivers of India. River Ganga, River Yamuna, River Saraswati, River Kaveri and so on. And then the holy rivers explained that their clothes were soiled because pilgrims take a dip in them to wash away their sins. And they added, "But O Pundalika, you with your ill treatment to your parents are the greatest sinner among all of them." This shocked Pundalika. He was completely broken and this marked a change in his consciousness. He realized his misdeeds and became so devoted to his parents that he went to any extent, even risking his life, to ensure their comfort. And from then on, every day, he attended to the needs of his parents and slept only after they slept. The Lord was immensely pleased with Pundalika and one evening, he himself manifested to bless Pundalika.
The Lord came to his house and stood at the entrance of his house, but Pundalika was at that time massaging the feet of his parents. They had not yet slept. And so he continued to serve his parents, but seeing the Lord waiting for him at the entrance of his house, he gently pushed a brick to the door of the house, requesting the Lord through his gestures to accept that as a seat and be seated until he completed serving his parents. And the most gracious Lord did exactly that. He stood on that brick with his arms akimbo, that is, arms on his hip, and a beautiful smile on his face. When Pundalika finally went to the Lord after his parents had slept, he pleaded forgiveness for making the Lord wait for so long. But the Lord was least upset. In fact, he was so pleased with the devotion that Pundalika had towards his parents that he blessed him profusely and even asked Pundalika to ask for a boon. And Pundalika said, "O Lord, just as you have blessed me, shower your grace on all the devotees. Please stay back on earth so that everyone can see you, everyone can worship you, and everyone can earn your grace." This was Pundalika's sincere, selfless prayer, and the Lord acceded to this heartfelt request, and that is how he continued to remain standing on that brick and came to be adored for centuries as Vithala or Vithoba, meaning the Lord who stood on a brick teaching an eternal lesson to humanity about duty to one's parents. So that is the story behind the name Vithala. Moving on, the fourth word is Jai, meaning victory, and this also occurs twice in this line. The fifth word is Karuna, meaning compassion, and the sixth word is Sindhu, meaning ocean. So in this line, Dina Bandhu Vithala Jai, Karuna Sindhu Vithala Jai, we proclaim victory to the Lord, who is the true well-wisher of those who are weak and distressed, who is the vast ocean of compassion, the one who is eternally standing alert on a brick, eager to respond to the prayer from a sincere heart. Let's move on to the second line.
Vithala, Vithala, Vithala Jai, Vithala, Vithala, Vithala Jai.
In this line, all the words are known to us. We hail the Lord victory to Vithala, the benevolent one who gave us the message that one should serve one's parents as if they are living gods. Let's move on to the third line.
Pandharinatha Vithala Jai, Panduranga Vithala Jai.
The first word here is Pandharinatha, coming from Pandhari, referring to Pandharpur, and Natha, which means Lord. The word Vithala as well as Jai each occur twice in this line, and we have already seen their meaning. Bhagwan sanctified the holy Pandharpur shrine by his divine physical presence in the late 60s. Not many may be aware of this. Professor Kasturi records this in the second volume of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Baba's biography. And in that holy book he says, "Even while a boy, Baba had gathered a band of comrades at Puttaparthi village who danced and sang of the joy derived from a pilgrimage to Pandharpur to witness the shrine of Panduranga Vithal." In fact, this was the group which was called the Pandhari Bhajan group, the first bhajan group that Baba constituted when he was a little one known as Satya. And Professor Kasturi goes on to say, "Baba had composed many captivating Telugu songs for his comrades to sing. Some of them glorified the Lord who blessed devotees at Pandharpur. Some detailed the route to be followed. Some described the travels of the long journey. Some expressed the thrill of the exhausted pilgrims when they had the first glimpse of the temple from afar. A divine design, an indescribable kinship was drawing Baba towards Pandharpur since his childhood." That is how Professor Kasturi writes. "And at last Baba visited the shrine with a number of devotees from Maharashtra on June 13th, 1965.
he stood silent for a few moments before Panduranga, the Vitthala, whose vision he himself has often vouchsafed to those who yearn to see him in that form. And then Baba moved to the shrine of Vitthala's consort, Rakumai, which is the Shakti of the Lord, and suddenly urged by a quick irrepressible memory, Bhagwan created a Mangala Sutra and placed it around the neck of the goddess. Prof. Kasturi says, a page from the Bhagavata came alive during that moment. So that is how Prof. Kasturi describes how Baba decorated Mother Rukmini, Mother Rakumai, with a beautiful necklace and recharged this historic shrine in Maharashtra. The other word in this line is Panduranga. This can be split as Pandu meaning white and Ranga means color. Panduranga means the Lord who is of white complexion. Incidentally, the statue of Lord Vitthala is always dark in color, but the name Panduranga means the white complexion one. So why this seeming contradiction? There are many explanations for this. One is that many consider Lord Vitthala as a form of Lord Shiva. Since Shiva is worshipped as Panduranga, Vitthala too has that name. Moreover, there is a general agreement among linguists that the word Vitthala is actually a derived form of Vishnu. With change of time, dialect and location, the word Vishnu slowly changed into Vishthu, then Bithu, then Vitthalu, followed by Vitthalu, finally Vitthala. Similarly, the Lord's consort, Lakshmi, too changed into Lakshma, Lakhma, Rakhma, and finally Rakhuma. So Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi came to be worshipped in Pandharpur as Vitthala and Rakhumai. And Vishnu is the resplendent white complexioned Lord. And that is the legend. So that is the legend and historical significance behind the names Vitthala and Panduranga. So in this line, Pandarinatha Vitthalajay, Panduranga Vitthalajay, we bow reverentially before the Lord of Pandharpur, the one who is adored as Panduranga and Vitthala. Let's move on to the next line.
Parti Purisha Vitthalajay, Prashanti Nilaya Vitthalajay.
The first word here is Partipurisha, derived from Partipuri, referring to the holy hamlet Puttaparthi, and Isha means Lord or Master. In this line too, the words Vitthala as well as Jai each occur twice. The other new word in this line is Prashanti Nilaya, referring to Prashanti Nilayam. Prashanti Nilayam literally meaning the abode of supreme peace. In the book Sri Satya Sai Anandadai, written by Mrs. Karunamba Ramamurthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, she narrates a very telling incident. In April 1949, Mrs. Karunamba's mother came to Puttaparthi all alone and stayed here for a month. During her stay, two college students from Chennai also came to Puttaparthi. Swami, interestingly, had appeared in their dreams and told them that he has incarnated in Puttaparthi and he asked them to come to this place for his darshan. In fact, they had located Puttaparthi with a lot of difficulty given that it was in 1949. And they were actually very sincere spiritual seekers. When they arrived, Swami sent word through Sri Seshagiri Rao, who is the first priest of the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, and through him, Bhagwan instructed that these two students should go to the river to have a bath before entering the Mandir. When the boys went to the river, they saw two divine feet with bejeweled anklets leading them with enchanting sounds. They were there all the time till they reached the river. And after their bath, they started washing their clothes. And now they had a wonderful vision of Panduranga in the form of a small boy. The Lord would clutch his pitambara or his yellow colored dress and move away to avoid the splashing water from falling on his dress. But then the next moment he would come near them
when there was no splashing of water. So they had this vision of this little boy as Panduranga playing with them, coming near them and then going away to a distance. And these two students were amazed at this experience that they were having in Prashanthi Nilayam. They praised Lord Vitthala and they returned to Mandir dazed. And again, as they were returning, the same 2 feet with the sound of the anklets led them from the sands of the river to the sands of the Prashanthi Mandir. And once they reached the Mandir, the feet disappeared. And now, Swami was there, dressed in beautiful clothes, waiting in the hall to welcome them. And as soon as these two students saw Swami, they just dropped the washed wet clothes from their hands, rushed to him, hugged him, praised him, and they started weeping. Swami just stood there, without speaking a word, just smiling. And hearing the commotion, other devotees in the mandir rushed there. And seeing the devotee, Swami tried to free himself from this boy, but he was not successful because one of the students was telling Swami, "You thief, you are avoiding everybody, you have come to this place, you have taken avatar, you are wearing this ochre robe and you are concealing your divinity. You are Krishna, you are Gopala, why have you grown such hair on your head? Your hair resembles that of Shiva, you dress like Krishna and you look so majestic like Rama. Whom do we take you to be?" And then one of them just breaks down, "I cannot be without you. Oh Krishna, how fortunate are we to see you in human form." So this is how the students never left Swami. They were completely overwhelmed, knowing that they were in fact with that Krishna, with that Panduranga in Prashanthi Nilayam. And now turning towards the devotees, one of the students said, "Believe my words, do not leave him. If you leave him, you will not get him again. He is Madhava. He is fooling you by acting like a Manava. He is God. He is pretending that he is human. Do not waste this golden opportunity. Fulfill your lives. I know him very well." This student urges all the devotees. And even as he is doing this, he is weeping and all the devotees around too have tears in their eyes. And Swami, who was watching all this, just smiled mischievously and said, "What is all this? These two students are mad. Why do you believe him and why do you weep?" But actually, before the boys had arrived in Puttaparthi, Swami had told everyone that these two students were actually two great Vedantins, two great enlightened wise souls. And Swami had told that these two pious souls were coming that day, and he had in fact told them that he was anxiously waiting for them. So the devotees knew that even though Bhagwan was saying that they are mad and all that, he was only joking. And so the devotees stood there watching the boys weep and fall at Bhagwan's feet and hold Bhagwan. And somehow, after a lot of difficulty, Swami freed himself from them, and he then consoled these two youngsters very lovingly. He asked the devotees to serve them food, and he himself dined with them in the same plate. He ate from the same plate, and then he took them to his room, talked to them for hours, and finally, with a lot of persuasion, he sent them home the next day. So that is Sai Panduranga of Prashanthi Nilayam. So in this line, Parthi Purisha Vithala Ajay, Prashanthi Nilaya Vithala Ajay, we adore the magnanimous Lord who chose to be born in Puttaparthi and established this beautiful abode of peace, Prashanthi Nilayam, just like he had done in Pandharpur. Let's move on now to the last line.
Vithala, Vithala, Vithala Jai, Vithala, Vithala, Vithala Jai.
This is a repeat of the second line of this bhajan where we sing the glory of Lord Vithala, victory to Lord Vithala. So with this, we have gained some understanding of what each word in this bhajan conveys. And now, dear listeners, let's listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's university in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
ദീനബന്ധു വിഠലാജെ കരുണാസിന്ധു വിഠലാജെ ബന്ധു വിഠലാജെ കരുണാ സിന്ധു വിഠലാജെ വിഠല വിഠല വിഠലാജെ വിഠല വിഠല വിഠലാജെ വിഠല 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 പണ്ഡരി നാഥ വിഠല പാണ്ഡുരംഗ വിഠല
Last part of this program, here is a small extract of a presentation made by Amey, Ravi and Siddhartha during the National Bhajan Workshop held in the Vrindavan Ashram in June 2013. Here they talk about the early years of the constitution of the Prashanti Bhajan Group by Bhagwan.
Those were very early days in the late 1970s and the 1980s. So 79-80, and there were probably four or five boys who knew some amount of music. Somebody could play the khanjira, somebody could sing a little bit. There was nothing more. There was no bhajan group as such. Because the group was not there, there were no musical instruments. Swami in fact handed over the first harmonium to the group, the first khanjira, the first dholak. In fact, there were no mics then, so it was all, you know, gun-throated singing, and there was no dholak. So during the bhajan, in fact, Swami called one of the students inside and said, please take this. He handed over a dholak, first dholak for the music group. And you know, with those humble beginnings, humble for the boys because it is filled with humility, because they were chosen to be the first group that would become part of this students bhajan group.
Sir, I've also heard, since you have probably seen that transition phase, you've been there at least, we were not lucky to even be on planet Earth, but it seems Swami used to even call the bhajan group inside for interview and give them...
Oh yes, that used to happen. So Swami would call this group of boys into the interview room. Of course, those days, these other projects were not there. There was no hospital, there was no water project, there was nothing. So, the bhajan group had maximum attention from Swami. Swami would call this group of boys inside, make them sing those bhajans which they were going to sing outside for him only. He would make them sing those bhajans for him inside the interview room. Outside, they would go outside, and then they would render those same bhajans outside for him
again. Make them practice.
Yeah. Make them practice.
So you can say that at that point his project in hand was the bhajan group.
It was a bhajan group. It was,
you could say, literally
first project
was
bhajan.
Yes. And so what we have tried to do is try to cover the evolution of the bhakti movement and the Sai bhajan movement to where it is currently at Prashanthi Nilayam. So what we intend to do over the next few, probably an hour or so, is to convey to you all those instructions that Swami gave over these years, right, probably from 1979 onwards, all those instructions and how he took this bhajan group forward is what we will try to share with you. Again, what is our qualification to share? We really don't have any qualifications. Our only qualifications is that we were tolerated by Bhagwan. And we continue to be tolerated by Swami. And probably the only other qualification we have is we love bhajans, just like each and every one of you do over here.
So that was a small excerpt of this presentation made during the National Bhajan Workshop in June 2013. And with that, we've come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you enjoyed it and found it useful. We welcome your feedback and requests or suggestions for this program. Please do email us at listener@radiosai.org. We place this humble effort at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, who is the sole inspiration for every little thing that we do at Radio Sai. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai. Bishu and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for our next program based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. And I can see before me there is a special guest for this program today. So there is something beautiful awaiting you in this program. So keep listening, stay tuned to Radio Sai, and after this program is over in an hour, I will be back for yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. So at 8:35, we meet again for yet another amazing conversation that we are going to have with two persons who have been a witness to the manifestation of Bhagwan's love, which is happening in amazing ways in the state of Orissa. The momentum that has picked up in this state, especially after Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi, the way the people of this state are experiencing the manifestation of Bhagwan's grace and the way his message is percolating into the hearts and minds of the people of Odisha is something very beautiful, something most mystifying. And to listen to this directly from the people who have been witnessing this at very close quarters, have requested the state president and his wife to be with us for the program Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For the present, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam with Prem, Sai Prakash, and as I told you, a special guest. Stay tuned and sit down for Prashanthi Nilayam.